Welcome to the Digital Analytics Power Hour. Tim, Michael, Mo, and the occasional guest discussing digital analytics issues of the day. Find them on Facebook at facebook.com/analytics hour and their website analyticshour.io. And now, the Digital Analytics Power Hour.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Digital Analytics Power Hour. This is episode 82. On the advice of our legal team, in accordance with section 23 of the GDPR, by remaining in the vicinity, you agree to let some of your personal data be possibly recorded by the Digital Analytics Power Hour GmbH LLC Inc. Please clap to signal your consent, and welcome to our show with a live audience at Super Week! Now, with the legalese out of the way, for the second year in a row, we are so honored and pleased to join an amazing group of people high in the Hungarian mountains. As always, I'm joined by my two co-hosts, Mo Kiss, hailing from the iconic, from Sydney, Australia. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And Tim Wilson, my longtime partner in crime. Welcome to the show. And as always, I am Michael Helbling from Atlanta, Georgia, Search Discovery. All right. We didn't get a chance to compete in the Golden Punch card, but we believe we've come up with an exciting new measurement capability. We're calling it last clap attribution. Okay. By clapping. Okay, oh, hold on. Please, data quality is important to us. By clapping, how many are here at Super Week for the very first time? Yes, welcome. By clapping, how many here are sober right now? All right, by clapping, how many have come to Super Week because they heard about it on the Digital Analytics Power Hour? Yay! Okay. Thank you. We are so glad that you're here to be part of what we experience and are so excited about. So you're all welcome. Thank you for having us. Let's get this great show started. Now, we've been listening to the talks. We've been hanging out with everyone. We've got lots of questions. We've got a great guest tonight. It's all of you. Welcome to the show. Let's get things started. All right. Who's got our first? Oh, I've got our first question. So normally our first question of the night would go to the person who conceived of this idea in the first place, none other than Zoli. However, he doesn't like to be in the spotlight. He likes to stay in the background. Oh. He told us he doesn't like to be in the spotlight, so we said, well, we can answer this question for you, Zoli, on your behalf. I want to ask all of you, how much do we love Zoli? All right, let's get it going. Who's got a question? Mo, you've got a question for somebody.
I do have a question. So, the question that I actually want to start with is, there's been a few hot topics here at Super Week, and none other than GDPR. So the first question is actually for Perlette. She's here from San Francisco and gave a really great talk on GDPR. And there was one particular point that I wanted to follow up on. So in her slide, she talked about the fact that it might be worth, like, one of the key things that you should take away is separating your operational data from your analytics data. So over to you, Perlette.
Thank you. So first, I'm not sure what you guys think I'll say, but I'm not a lawyer. With that out of the way, so one thing that is important with GDPR PR is that you not only have to think about how are you collecting your data, but how and for what purposes you're going to use it. So just because you collected it, it doesn't mean you have the right to use it for all purposes. So if you need the data in order to make your site function, doesn't mean that you can actually use it in your marketing materials. So if you separate how you collect your data for operational purposes and how you're collecting it for analytical purposes or any other maybe models that you're creating, you are much more likely to be GDPR compliant and not get in trouble. Because you have to remember that not all of your developers and not everyone that uses your data would completely understand how GDPR and permissions work. So the more you separate that and the more you have control over permissions, you'll be in a better place.
So just to follow up, have I got it correct that so operational data would kind of sit in a different sphere and therefore be subject to slightly different rules? Is that the key benefit?
That and also how you save the permissions. So if you save the permissions in your analytical data separately, you would know what exactly you have the right to use the data for, versus when you're just using your operational data to display to your user, for example, how many videos they played on your platform, that will be now completely separated and you would know that you don't have the right to access the data. Because the other part is depending how you go into consent and depending on your company's risk taking, you might have to ask for permission for each one of the uses. And putting that in your operational data can get really messy. So it might result in you duplicating data across in multiple platforms, but you might be safer at the end.
Okay, thanks for that.
Awesome. So GDPR, that's the last we're going to talk about, GDPR. Now, it'll be back. But for especially the first couple of days, the two big topics were GDPR and what was the other topic? Everyone together? Machine learning. Machine learning and AI. So it was kind of which one's which. So we're going to hit on that other big question. We're going to go to Mr. Jim Stern. And so, hey, Jim. So and Jim Stern, for anyone who doesn't know, recently published his latest book of, I think it was like his 273rd book. I don't know that my data integrity is quite right. It's close to that. But that was Artificial Intelligence for Marketing Practical Applications, which I actually can recommend because I have read the whole thing.
You're the one.
I'm the one. Somebody had to. So the question is, what is the application, what is an application of AI that you find yourself relaying pretty often when you're talking to a marketer who's like, I hear about it, but is that something I need to be thinking or considering or worrying about, or is that something way, way off in the future that I can kind of ignore for now?
Yeah, forget about it.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
Next question.
Next. So I think the thing that I always reach for is email marketing because it has enough data and enough repetition and a fast enough speed that people can apply how the machine thinks about it. If I send out an email blast and look at the results and I think about how I could make improvements and that didn't really get a great open rate, or it did open but nobody clicked through, or it clicked through but it didn't convert, whatever it is, and I tweak it a little bit and send it out again and measure the results. Now that's like a 2 or 3 week long process because I've got to send it through committee and send it to the agency and get the technical people to tag it again and get it out there. But the machine can send out the email and look at the results as they come in and update its mathematical model of what's important. It will look to see, is it the headline that's the most important thing, or should I change the color of the button, or should I change the landing page? And in fact, it can test all that stuff, and it's just trial and error. And it learns over time. So while it will take me several weeks to go through an iteration, it can be constantly mailing and updating and improving and learning.
Awesome. So Michael, Mo, once we get around to getting an email subscription list for the Digital Analytics Power Hour, we'll be diving right into that.
That's one of my KPIs.
Although we do need some volume of data, I guess, before you can actually really effectively do that.
That would be absolutely necessary.
Just having our parents having subscribed, that's probably not enough. That's not good data. So, awesome.
All right.
Thanks, Jim.
Okay. Now.
So for our next question,
we
have something quite important.
We do?
Yes.
Oh, yes. So before Mo asks the next question, we go out to all of you. But there's someone who has set the standard for what it means to answer a question on this kind of podcast in an exceptional way. If some of you who were here last year remember Kaylee Rogers from the UK, did such an amazing job answering a question. And so we have, for the best answer to a question open to the audience, the Kaylee Rogers commemorative prize that Mo brought all the way from Australia. Oh, yeah. So I know Kaylee's not here to do a repeat win, but maybe she'll hear it from some of her friends or if she listens to the show. But Mo's got a question. We want an answer from somebody out there. It could be anyone. But be aware, the stakes are high.
42.
Yeah, 42. Yeah, but what's the question?
So for those of you who are listening and obviously can't see me running around the room with a, I'm going to say the word thong because all the Americans are going to freak out, which means a flip-flop. It is a very handy Australian foreign magnet, right? So for whoever's got the best comment, question, etc. throughout the show, this super expensive, I promise it wasn't made in China, bottle opener.
I feel like we should have a contest where people who've just heard that description, who aren't here, actually tweet what they think she was just describing, and at some point we'll put a picture of it.
Okay, so who's ready to answer a question? Who's got what it takes? We start easy and then we escalate rapidly. Hussein! Woo! All right, Mal, you've got the question.
Oh, I do have the
question.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll get you the microphone.
So the question that I have is, from the week so far, I've actually been asking this question to people throughout the week over meal times because it's my favorite thing to ask. What has been your favorite highlight moment, something that you just think, yeah, that was unreal?
So I think my favorite has been just something that Tim did in his presentation. So he, So this was just flipping the chart and, you know, kind of doing it horizontally and then having so much space for comparison. That was like very interesting because I'd been thinking of it like, you know, where would I place all this and how would I compare it? And just having that light bulb was quite amazing to be able to do that, yeah.
We have a winner! Oh, wait, no, we're supposed to wait.
Oh, yeah, wait. Oh, yeah, wait.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Very nice. Thank you.
I'm done. Drop the... So, I've been standing here. I saw him earlier. Where is the man who has had a hashtag created for him? Oh, there he is. Here he comes.
There he is.
Okay. We have Matt Gershoff.
Hello.
And from Conductrix, all the way from New York City.
New York City.
Thanks for having me.
And I do recommend anyone who wants to go and do a Twitter search for hashtag Matt Gershoft.
Please,
because I think everyone who is here has experienced it. And
really, don't do that.
It's a wonderful experience.
Let's make it trend.
No one does.
So. One of the things Matt had in his session, and you and I, Matt, we were talking about it afterwards, was a somewhat famous George Box quote, which was, all models are wrong, but some are useful. And I sort of immediately saw it and thought, oh, that's this kind of throwaway thing that, yes, the data's not perfect. And Matt and I were talking later, and I said, yeah, but I've started to realize there's a more kind of profound, that like really is a good point. And Matt was like, yes, exactly. I've realized that there really is a meaningful point in that quote. All models are wrong, but some are useful. So Matt, can you explain the profundity in that quote?
Sure. So, it's actually technically, I don't believe it's the quote that he used. Actually, he wrote a paper in 1976 that I read. Actually, it's a really good paper about statistics and science in general.
Nice try, man.
Why don't you just recap? You know, why don't you kind of do a rundown of that paper instead?
You know what? Well, as a matter of fact, Tim, I'm glad you asked me to do that because I have the paper right here. And I'm going to read from it because I think this actually gets to the main point of it. And there's a section called Worryingly Selectively. So to worry selectively. And it says, since all models are wrong, the scientists must be alert to what is importantly wrong. It is inappropriate to be concerned about mice when there are tigers abroad. Ooh. And if that doesn't explain that, right? And I think that we can all pause. That's actually the quote that from George Box. And I think the point is that, and actually this is a nod to Bacon and to Hume.
Of course it's to Hume.
Just bring that back in. No, but really, the idea is that truth is the wrong metric, right? And so I brought it up mostly not as a throwaway, but just to liberate us, because sometimes we get concerned about getting it right or wrong, and really right or wrong is really the wrong metrics, because it's always going to be wrong, and it's really about utility. And so it's really up for us, the designer, right, as the scientist or the analyst, we're the designer of the analysis, and really what we're trying to do is it's really about utility, right? So how useful is this model? And that's really for us to decide. So it's not to let someone say you're doing it wrong. It's as long as this is useful, you're good.
And useful being if it's better than a coin flip and cost effective. So there was another kind of point that you made around the usefulness of, do you always want the best model? Or are there trade-offs we should be thinking about?
Yes, you always want the best model, but the point is the best is going to be based upon all these factors.
So you have the most predictive, most accurate model?
Yeah, no, accuracy.
No, absolutely not, right?
So there's this trade-off. I think, there's this trade-off between accuracy, and in this case, I'm going to bring up GDPR, even though we didn't want to, but with interpretability. And so there's some utility sometimes to being able to interpret a model, one, to be able to debug it. And so, it's important to have this trade-off. You don't want to be obsessed with accuracy when you might have some other objectives in which something less complex will have greater use for your use case.
So if you've got deep learning that gives you a 90% perfect answer, but it's a total black box, or you have a simple regression that gives you 85%, you may say, hey, I can understand the regression. The best model might be the one that is...
Yeah, you can explain it to the client or to somebody else. So that's why it's really about either your utility. So you're going to factor in all the aspects of the result, and then it'll be up to you to decide what is optimal with respect to... your objectives.
All right. So all of our listeners have now officially been, let's all say it together, hashtag Matt Gershaw. Thank you, Matt.
Thank you, guys.
Oh, yeah. Forever. It's going to go forever.
All right.
So the next question is from Martine. And this question, so Martine enlightened us all a little bit to the world of SEO. And it sounds like we're all interested in doing A-B tests, but it sounds like A-B testing from an SEO perspective has its own unique characteristics. I'm keen to hear a little bit about those.
Oh, absolutely. So mostly like what you focus on with regular A-B testing, website experimentation, is that it's all about like the user metrics. You're really focused on conversion rate, improving your website flow. Usually it's all about funnels. But for SEO and like SEO experimentation, it's a little different because it's all about traffic numbers, like basically getting more easily sessions from organic search. So what you focus on mostly with SEO experimentation is like instead of bucketing users, you're bucketing pages because you want to make sure that like the search engine and the user get to see the same thing. So that's what we focus on with SEO experimentation. It's like, okay, what kind of templates do I have on my website? And in this case, usually the homepage doesn't even count because it's just one specific template and there are not multiple variations of it. But for example, for your product pages, category pages, or anything that has like multiple kind of items, it makes a lot of sense to test on them to basically figure out, can I add certain things to these pages? Can I remove things? What kind of things should I be optimizing for? So you'd basically split these pages in half or in like 20% or whatever, and basically measure what the impact is on sessions from organic search based on the changes that you've made there. And that's like your main KPI there.
So how do you, somebody, and I'm forgetting who asked the question, but how do you split, for a classic A-B test, you show, because you're back to users, it's an A and B split, but how do you actually split. You don't like call up Google and say, hey, serve, treat, have your bot half the time look at this one, half the
other. I wish it was indeed that easy. So what you mostly do with SEO is that there's, because there's so many different variables, you don't really like split it 50-50, because it could be that there's like a certain outlier or a certain page, like these days for like big events or big political things that happen. It might be that there's like one or two pages in like that 50% that could totally create like an outlier in the data. So with SEO experimentation, you want to make sure that that doesn't happen. So you basically create multiple buckets. So how that would work is that you have like multiple original variants. So it's more like 25, 25, 25, 25, or even more of them. So you make sure that there's like an equal divide still between all the variants. That's how you divide it.
But when you say 25, 25, 25, you may take your product details page and say that's a template. So you're going to take 25% of them and do one thing. You're literally taking your entire bucket of templated content and you're tweaking basically the template or some aspect of the content on each of those.
Correct. And then you're basically like waiting for a few weeks usually, because you want to make sure that Google picks up on all these changes. And after that, you analyze the results based on outliers or not.
Awesome.
Standing.
Thank you.
Excellent. All right. I'm looking for a brave, brave person who's ready to answer a tough question. Who's ready?
Peter?
Really? Yes?
He's
hiding, so that means he wants to do it. He's just afraid to do it. Peter Meyer. Oh, yeah. This is a very good industry analytics question. Welcome. Yeah, the audience is here.
I'm not a lawyer.
Yeah, so you know there is a member of our community that hasn't been here for a couple years. Yeah, it's a real tearjerker, this question. What would you like to say to Simo to convince him to come to Super Week next year? Yeah.
I think I would ask him to bring his family then.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. I like it. That's a good entry. Anything else you want to say to Simo right now?
I like his stuff.
Yeah.
even though I'm doing Telium now. Yes, I like
Telium,
his stuff.
Telium, boo. Oh, no. Telium, yay. Yeah. Okay.
Just saying.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Simo, we miss you. Come back.
Simo, you're just posters
your
on the wall.
That's right.
You're awfully two-dimensional.
All
this
right.
Year.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
You are
Thank
a scholar you. And a gentleman.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. I've got another very important question, but this one I know who's going to answer it. Robert. Robert Petkovich. Yes, please come up, sir. This question needs to be answered. Yeah. Okay. So, together, yeah, everybody, Robert Petkovich, please. Yes. Yes.
I do have no answer to the previous one.
Yes, okay. But this one's a little different. It's about a metric, but not a digital one. So, Tim Wilson's hair. Like, about how short, like, should we cut it?
But the size of that whiskey jar, I suppose.
Yeah.
Could that be appropriate?
If I drank everything in that whiskey jar, could you shave my head?
Is that the size of that whiskey jar?
Yeah, oh, it could go up. That, yeah. It could, potentially.
Are you like saving it up to like donate or something? Is that,
no. It's my, I lose all my statistical powers at
night. Oh, okay. All right.
Significantly? Or?
Significantly.
I'm 95% confident.
I am uncertain of this. Yeah, so Robert played a really great joke on Tim this week, and we wanted to put it in the podcast because it was very good.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Robert.
Everybody knows what the joke was about?
Yeah, tell. Yeah. Please tell.
Yeah, we were discussing on LinkedIn before. Tim was concerned whether he would cut his hair. He didn't have time. Should he bring scissors along to the Hungary Super Week? And I asked him, should I bring the scissors? And that it stopped. And I came here, and during I was driving for 7 hours, and at the border, I told myself, oh, I forgot scissors.
They don't just let you bring scissors in the
over the border, you know.
That's a border.
And I asked Petra over there, thanks Petra, I asked her to print out scissors. Find me something on Google Images, a scissor, the image of scissor, and she printed out, says, welcome to Super Week, and I signed it. I gave her a car, like, hi.
And that will be in the show notes, an image of that lovely.
We will have
image.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So awesome. Thank you, sir.
Best thing so far, and I think it would be further, is every time Tim Wilson's hair pops up on the screen. That's the best part.
So if you're still presenting this week, I think you know what you need to do. All right, who's got the next question?
Okay, so we're going to get Hussein to come back up. There has been some hectic puzzling going on at Super Week this year. I mean, it's a 5,000 almost cruel puzzle. And over the puzzling, I discovered that Hussein has actually been talking to
Mo, I know your great description. So there was a large jigsaw puzzle. Again, everybody here knows this. For anyone listening, there was a 5,000-piece jigsaw puzzle. Kind of an awesome conference thing. Talks about, like, it definitely drives conversation. But so puzzling, there's lots of puzzling going on. We all have listened to Matt. Listened to Matt Gershoff speak. Everyone here has puzzled, but jigsaw puzzles specifically.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah,
okay.
Just translating. Translating for you.
Okay, so on to my actual point. Over said jigsaw puzzle, I discovered that Hussein has been chatting to my brother-in-law, Lee Isensi, because he got access to some really cool data, and that data is on all of you. So totally GDPR compliant right now. But it's actually about Measure Slack. So I just wanted to hear if you've had any cool findings thus far since you've started digging around.
Sure. So just to kind of preface, Lee just mentioned randomly one day on Measure Slack that I am logging every message that you're making on Measure Slack, and it's in a database in MongoDB, and it's somewhere on, you know, in Mixpanel. So I thought, you know, let's kind of get access to it and start to kind of play with it. So, you know, I had like a new intern starting up, so I just kind of, you know, handed him this data and saw, you know, this is like a normal kind of community data. You'll just find nothing like important. It would just be like similar things. But what I kind of found out was, you know, like this is before I came to this conference. So I found out was that, you know, people or like analytics people are not really normal. So one of the things that we're...
But are we normally distributed?
And neither normally distributed, yeah. So one of the things that we were trying to do was trying to kind of fingerprint where a person might be from based on what time zones their posts come from. So we don't really have any IP address data. We just have what time a person posts on. So we're trying to use like a radar plot and just see, you know, like most of the time a person would post in an 8-hour window, technically, because, you know, it's work. And you're generally replying to other people during work to just like, you know, slack off. But what actually happened was that I found like a lot of outliers that there were people that started at like 4 a.m. and then they're back at it at like again, like 12 a.m. and then, you know, back at it again the next day. And there's like only like 3 or 4 hour windows between their messages. And I was, you know, at that point I was like quite surprised, because what I was expecting was that mostly people would talk within themselves in their groups. But what actually happened was that, you know, if you got stuck in a conversation, you're just replying over and over whenever you woke up and your Slack was buzzing.
So basically we all need to sleep some more.
Yeah, sleep more often to find more insights.
Thanks.
Thank you for that.
Oh, yeah. So if you didn't understand anything about that, there is a Measure Slack, and you should join it. And in fact, there's a URL where you can join it at join.measure.chat. So yeah, that's our little plug for Measure Slack. All right, we've got another very important question. The next person I'd like to get up here to ask a question is none other than Rafael Calguero from Montreal. Let's give him a hand.
Thanks, Michael.
So this Super Week always has a French Canadian.
Yeah.
But not always the same one.
No.
But what I would like to ask you initially is WWSHD, or what would Stefan Hamel do?
No, same thing as Yoda.
I'm just kidding. Okay, so this is my question for you, sir. By the way, this young man, this fine practitioner of analytics, brought an amazing bottle of Canadian whiskey, which I believe we've all consumed. It was really good maple whiskey. Thank you so much for bringing it.
Pleasure.
What has been the highlight of Super Week for you thus far?
Can I do a plus one here?
Yeah.
I've got two. I've got a shallow one and a deep one.
Ooh, deep.
Should okay. I start with the shallow or the deep?
Yeah, probably so.
He really wants that prize.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, that's only the people who come up before they know. It's okay. Go.
It's the governor.
Yes. All right, so the shallow one, there's a bus that can take you to Super Week. Yeah. And on the bus, there's this fine blonde lady that comes in, and when I ask her name, she says she's Mo. And on the show notes, she's not a blonde. So that's the first thing that really amazes me.
Wow, when you said shallow, this is like, this is like you're not even getting your ankles wet.
I'm talking about a lady's hair color.
Yeah.
Are we talking about the picture where my hair is purple?
Sort of, yeah.
Okay.
Color scheme on the website, guys.
Yeah. It's an artistic choice. Come on.
Of who?
Yeah, okay.
Of Michael.
The other one, the deeper one, would be the talk by Steen Rasmussen.
Okay.
His main point was about stop asking stupid questions about your KPI, start asking real questions. So he said you should not ask about KPI, you should ask about KPQ, which is key performance question. And from those KPQ, technically, you should get your KPI from.
Awesome.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, very cool. Much. Thank you very much. Thank you, Steen.
Steen!
Thank you, Raphael. All right.
Oh, and I just want to clarify quickly that we had a lengthy conversation on the bus about the color scheme of the Analytics Hour webpage. If anyone has any feedback on that, please send it to Tim. He'd love to hear your thoughts.
He loves bleeding blue.
I have blue skin on the website. I'll be emailing myself profusely. Maria, if you can come up. And this is where I probably already butchered your first name. Is it Bochepa?
Yeah.
Oh, I guess I could give you the... Sure. So Maria's from OXBI?
Right.
OXBI? OWOX.com. So we kind of pride ourselves on the podcast that like we don't shill for products, we don't push products. So this was not Maria's doing. This just came up because we were talking in the while we were eating, and she brought this up. She's like, "Oh, we did this cool thing," and I'm like, "Really? That's pretty cool." So I went and checked it out. So as we have talked about machine learning and AI and doing more advanced stuff with statistics, it came up in like the first session that wasn't about GDPR. There was a, hey, to do this stuff, you have to have detailed data. So if you're using Google, like you kind of want your data in BigQuery, or you kind of want to be doing a custom dimension that's capturing an ID. And so we talked through, there were various options, some of them very technical, require a lot of work, using the Google Cloud Platform. And it turns out that OXBI has, as part of their, pipeline product?
Okay.
That you actually, there's kind of a solution for that. So I wanted her to actually share with everyone here, who was maybe in one of those sessions saying, what other options do I have to kind of explain what that tool does?
I'll gladly explain. So the main idea there is that if you're using Google Tag Manager, you can just set up one custom HTML tag or a custom task to capture data that you're sending from a website into Google Analytics, and we'll copy that request and we'll push it into BigQuery. So you'll have your raw data from the website on a hit level in BigQuery without doing 360. And that doesn't mean that supplements 360, because 360 has like a bunch of other cool features. But if you're not big enough to go with 360 and you want to get raw data in BigQuery and start doing stuff with it without like technical implementation, without writing your own connector, you can just go there, add one custom HTML tag, and get your data in BigQuery running. And if you don't use Google Tag Manager, then you'll have to add JavaScript code on the website. But I think everyone here has GTM. I hope.
Awesome. So I thought that was pretty cool, right? Joy, round of applause.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you.
Something to add, like if you have any questions on how to set up, I'm here tomorrow and I can help you with that.
And for those who aren't here, we will link to it on our show notes page, so it will be available if you want to go check it out more.
Absolutely. All right. So you know that the questions just keep getting harder and harder. All right, who's ready? Who's willing? Who's going to be able to answer this next very difficult question?
I think you need to make it clear you need a volunteer.
I need a volunteer. Yeah. I need a volunteer, yeah.
Or your host, will
anybody,
we'll
or
volunteer.
I'll start choosing people out of the
audience.
David
McBride.
I see a hand up. Charles Farina.
Oh, hi, Dan.
Oh, Charles.
There we go.
Charles Farina's hand was up.
This is going to be a good one.
All right, this is a great question for you, Charles. All right, here we go. Hand this man a microphone. Yeah. Yeah. Charles is with Analytics Pros, who is a sponsor of Super Week. We're so excited to have you here.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Whose job is it to look after data quality? The analyst or the implementation specialist, the data engineer? Whose job?
All of us. We're all in it together.
Oh, boy. Very political. Very political.
But seriously, all of us.
But seriously.
If you touch the code, you have to check it.
Okay.
If you're analyzing the code, you have to be confident in it.
Okay.
So no matter what your role or responsibility is, in order to have the trust, you need to have a team and the data quality and standards and all that stuff.
All right.
But so I've got a follow-up.
Follow-up question.
But sometimes when something is everyone's responsibility, it means no one takes responsibility for it. So is there a particular role that maybe the buck stops with, as in ultimately it's their job to call it? I don't know. I feel like when you just say it's everyone's job, well, I know my data engineers, they're like, that is your job. You're the analyst.
Sure. I think it flows nicely into tag management workflows. So let's say you have a tagging request for marketing. Usually you have a strategist who should be able to communicate that or create a ticket down to development. And when you get into like the tag management process, you have kind of your engineer who goes in and creates the tag. They should be able to know how to open up the data layer and see if a tag's firing. Then before that gets published, it should go back to the reporting person to make sure it's in the format and the style and is meeting the needs they had anticipated. And that way, everything kind of gets eyes from both stakeholders before it goes live. And more importantly, it needs to be a process because a site is never finished. It's ongoing. It changes. And when things do break, it's not about pointing fingers. It's about just trying to have the best quality and data integrity you can. Because without that, none of us can really make confident decisions in the data.
I have to jump in. There's such a universal thing going on right now with this question, and Charles is answering it. So everybody here who was at the Golden Punch Card Awards know that Charles and Analytics Pros was like a finalist because they've got a real-time alerts. They've hooked into the real-time API for GA, and one of the examples you gave, which I think would probably be the role of an analyst, would say, hey, one of the alerts you should set up is, did my traffic drop below a certain level? That will tell me that something has gone wrong, like fundamentally with my tagging. All you here in the room know about that. What's not known is that one of the members of one of the co-hosts of the podcast, who I'm not going to name, but everybody here can tell who it is based on that co-host performance behavior right now, was actually checking a website and checking the traffic and saw a flat line that happened due to a data layer change within the last 24 hours. So
it's real.
It's real. The struggle
Whose
is real.
Whose fault is it?
That's right. That's what we're trying to figure out.
Whose hand rolled?
That's so, right. So based on your answer, somebody's getting fired. No, I'm just kidding.
Or a haircut.
That's not corporate policy, but
if you're going to shave, maybe we'll talk.
All right. All right. Thank you, sir. All right. Our next person has worked so hard. He works very hard. And we require of him just one more service. Yehoshua, could you join us for just a second? The hardest working man in the analytics business. All right, Mo's going to have a question for you.
So to the question.
Oh, thank you.
We've got someone in the audience, a.k.a. Krista from Google, who I'm sure is sitting there with a notepad ready to take any feedback. My question is, given that Krista's listening attentively, if you could change one thing about Google Analytics, what would it be?
Oh.
That's right.
Just one.
He's about to go Super Saiyan, everybody.
I think he's warming up.
The ability to backstitch user data.
Oh, good request.
The ability to backstitch user data.
The ability to backstitch user data because, you know, a cookie ID becomes aware and, you know, we know who the person was. You can do it in BigQuery, but that's not Google Analytics.
Yeah.
I think she just wrote that down.
Oh.
Get her the microphone.
Oh, she's going to be on.
Oh, he sprung back to life.
So a follow-up. That tends to be really expensive because you're talking about reprocessing data. So if we can go back in time and ask you one thing that wouldn't require reprocessing but would make Google Analytics better.
Wow. And how a product manager handles feedback.
That's how you reframe the question.
The question has been asked. I mean, I don't know what you
actually,
want to
anybody,
do.
Actually, is anybody dying to provide an answer to that question? Charles, we got Charles with like, it's the page dimension.
Here comes a new challenger. Yeah.
For the love of all things GDPR, please put the page dimension first in the list. It's so simple.
There goes any chance of sponsorship by Google, I guess.
We're done. All right.
Thank you, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mo, I'm giving up the microphone.
All right. Thank you, sir. He works hard. And now, if you come back, David McBride, if you come back next year, you know what you're in for. So, yeah, be ready. All right. I've got a question for a one Mr. Eric Dreesen. Could you please join us up here, Eric? Welcome. Thank you for coming. All right, you were one of the Golden Punch Card finalists, and I'm going to tell you, I think my theme song would be Staying Alive.
Nice.
Hey, enter the office. You can't tell by the way that I'm walking.
Oh, wow.
So,
that's a good choice.
Is this what happens when you stand next to
the host? I have thought of this idea many times, actually. This is something I wanted to do. And we use our Raspberry Pi to measure how much beer we pour out of our kegerator.
Oh, that's awesome.
And we have a Twitter account, @Kegalytics. And it's hooked up to GA.
Both of our listeners are wondering what the fuck you were talking about.
At
right
Search
now.
Discovery, we measure our beer. But I have a question for you. I was intrigued how you had the insight that you can totally change the perception of data collection sometimes by adding a benefit to the data subject. Can you recap what you did there?
Yeah, so basically we have a project where we do Wi-Fi tracking. So we track when people enter the office, and most of the people don't really like being tracked when they enter the office. So we thought about ways to add a beneficial effect to being tracked. So everyone who's in the system, they get their personal intro song played whenever they enter the office. So every time I go to the office, I personally hear the Airwolf theme song. So some of you might know the song. So that gives everyone who enters the office basically a happy face. So that's really good for tracking. And I think in our day-to-day business, we mainly use tracking, and the user will benefit from it somewhere in the end when we have a complete model that attributes all the user and cross-device tracking and stuff like that. And we just flipped it and thought about ways to have the user benefit from it instantly as soon as they're being tracked.
Very nice.
And I wanted to add to this, I got some questions about will we share the code? We're going to put the code on GitHub and share the hardware requirements so everyone can run this in their own office if they want to.
My dream will finally come true. Perfect. Excellent. Thanks. Thank you, Eric. Thank you so much.
I love that because I feel like we talk about that at times where we're like, oh, if you're collecting data, what's the benefit to the user? And in that little example, like it was like, yeah, I don't want to
such
know,
a good
I don't want,
example.
I don't want my boss to know when I show up to the office, even though he would be very cool with it, right, Michael?
Yeah.
Even
production over presence, Tim.
That's right. Still onboarding. So we're going to bring up a longtime friend of the show, Mr. Pavel Kapuscinski. Where is he? Yeah, there
Yay,
he is.
Hey, Pavel.
I will say, so definitely I feel like I know Pavel, I know you very well, even though like we literally met for the first time 7 hours ago, maybe in person. So Pavel's kind of very active on the Measure Slack. He is tinkering around with stuff. He's a big like sports fan, so he is like finding all sorts of things to do with various football data.
Football, basketball.
Like football, basketball.
Soccer, whatever soccer. You want.
What is this soccer you speak of? yeah, we're not talking American football, right? You haven't done American football.
Yeah,
you've done American football stuff. Yeah. Oh, wow.
Pavel is you could one try of Australian us. Football, too. That'd be right.
I couldn't find data, yeah. But if you find me a data, I can do stuff.
We can talk about this after.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
We could do it right now. Yehoshua and Krista have gone off to argue about reprocessing, and that's not true. It's the medium. See, I can say things like that. Creating a different experience.
Fake news.
So Pavel did something really cool. We didn't start transcribing our episodes until episode 60. And we knew that we could do some machine translation, and that would be relatively quick and relatively inexpensive. We hadn't gotten around to it. But so, Pavel, you actually, like, we didn't know until you'd sort of done it, but you actually did some text mining and posted the script of the transcripts of our episode, which then had me scramble to go and back populate all the past transcripts. But for the stuff that you've processed so far, what's like one or two nuggets of kind of interesting things you found from mining the text from this podcast?
I think the most obvious one, you got Matt Gershoft when he came to the podcast and you said AI and machine learning, the show, three times more than the next show in the line. So he said, I think 39 times. When the next show, the second time, you said, was just 15 times. So you were talking a lot, obviously, yeah?
About that's why AI and machine learning are very important.
And also, if you can hear any rumblings throughout this show, it's someone being Matt Gershoft at the bar throughout the entire show.
Which I can attest that it does help to be close to the bar when you're being Matt Gershoft. Poor Matt. That wasn't mean. That was said with tenderness.
So second would be that podcast is definitely not for children.
It's not.
You like to swear?
The fuck you said.
interesting. There are more kids around right now. Probably.
Sorry, so, kids. Sorry.
I hope it's not about me.
No. Awesome. That's great.
And then the one more really interesting, the two most useful words, the most used words at the podcast, one is data, which is we love, and second is people that we hate.
Mm. Oh.
Data. We are data people.
Awesome. Mm. So thanks, and Pavel did.
Thank you, Pavel.
Pavel did post that code on GitHub. I plan to play around with it. If anybody's dabbling with R or wants to dabble with text mining, you have a ready data set of some messy data. I certainly plan to play around with it. So that was kind of cool and fun.
All right. And our final entrant.
Before I do that, I want to give out the prize. I'd really like to give out the prize.
Oh, you want
to
give
and
it out?
And I feel like maybe I should just get to pick it on my own.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it should just be anyone who talked tonight. Because...
Is it me?
Well, no. There's two things. So one... Tomorrow I'm actually talking about this particular bias, which Tim reminded me of, which is recency, which is really unfortunate for what I want to do with the prize right now. But I really want to give it to Pavel, so I'm just making the call.
What?
Thank you, Pavel. The Kaylee Rogers Commemorative Award.
And if you want to find out about recency bias, come along tomorrow. Okay, so the last question is actually for everyone in the audience to participate, and we're going to use last clap attribution.
It's a proven method.
There has been three really big topics at Super Week, and what we want to hear from you guys is which one has been most terrifying. So the first topic, and maybe, I don't know, maybe you can clap for all,
but... Don't you have to say what all three are before they clap?
Yeah.
I'm just checking.
Okay, fine. Yeah. So the first one is GDPR. The second one is Tim's luscious locks.
Oh,
so people are already clapping. And then, of course, third is machine learning and AI.
Oh, yeah, that's good too.
See, maybe
but it's which one's it. Most terrifying?
Yeah, most terrifying.
Most
so
terrifying.
Number one, GDPR.
GDPR, it's pretty scary. Pretty scary. That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Number two, Tim's luscious locks.
Oh, yeah, it's a standing ovation. Oh, my gosh.
I'm not going to to three.
Okay. This is the serious part of the show because now we're talking to everyone who's not here out there. If you've been listening and you're like, why am I not at Super Week having a good time with all of these people? You're probably saying, how do I connect? How do I get into this? The best way is through the Measure Slack, through our Facebook page, through our website at analyticshour.io. Please let us know about your interest in Super Week. We'll connect you with Zoli. You get here next year, be part of this amazing experience. We've loved being here. We thank all of you for letting us be here. And we encourage anybody listening to subscribe to the show through whatever medium you use on iTunes or Android or whatever. We like subscribers. And we have a last minute question from Jim Stern. Oh, I know what question it is.
We know the question.
I know what question it is. And
my
I have
question
a really
is,
great...
when's the next time these fine people can see you do a podcast live?
I love that question because the next time you're going to see us live is at the Marketing Evolution Experience in Las Vegas in June 2018 with Zoli and Yehoshua coming with the Golden Punch card. That is a not to be missed. So get there.
And we're going to be trialing something completely new and different for our next live audience show.
Which we don't know what that is.
We have no idea what that is.
Just clarify.
So, for my two co-hosts, Tim and Mo, and for all of our guests, remember, keep analyzing.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, and don't forget to join the conversation on Facebook, Twitter, or Measure Slack group. We welcome your comments and questions. Visit us on the web at analyticshour.io, facebook.com/analyticshour, or at analyticshour on Twitter.
So smart guys wanted to fit in, so they made up a term called analytics. Analytics don't work.
Dum dum super weak, dum 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 super weak, dum dum super weak, dum 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 super weak. Can you please just punch me in the jaw? Because it's open.
Aww. So is my bar tab.
Oh,
that was a joke. Sarcasm.
306, everybody.
Okay. Mo might have gone and checked to confirm that no, people had not actually been ordering drinks on her room.
Hello. Hello, Krista. Hello, raise your hand. In the back, we can't see you on the podcast. It's just audio.
The MC has been holding court quite a bit this conference.
Yeah. And
is very used to holding the microphone.
Let me hand it over to Mo. This is the part where we're going to edit the whole thing out. You'll never hear this part.
Don't give me whiskey. Normally I can't drink during the show because we record at 8 in the morning.
I suspected when you said three.
That was analytical homework. Bunch of nerds.
You should see that when I wrote the question down.
Saw that. I was like,
Rock flag, super weak. Yeah.